Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Open your Bible to 1 Peter 5. I've got just a little exhortation for you tonight. You know, I'm sure you all been preaching your social media sermons today. Because all y'all are preachers. I follow a lot of y'all on Facebook and stuff. Everybody's preaching their faith, their Facebook faith, their social media sermon, their Twitter teaching. So y'all probably don't even need a word tonight, but you know, I just thought, man, this is, I'm not that old, but I've been through a lot of elections. This has just been crazy. It's been, y'all are quiet because you don't know where I'm going yet, but y'all are like, wait, I don't want to, but it's just, hey, I'm just with you. It's just been crazy. And obviously last night was no different, and you know, it's really just, we have to all kind of ask the question, now what's next? Where's God going in all of this? And so this is just, I titled this, What's Next? A Post-Election Exhortation, just because I'm not very creative with titles. But there has been lots of mixed emotion, people trying to figure out how they feel and what they think, not only throughout the pre-election, but through last night. And, you know, there's those that are, you know, filled with excitement and some expectancy about new things around the corner, others with just sheer fear and panic. And, you know, it's hard to feel like somebody else feels, and you don't really know why they feel that way necessarily, but you didn't come from where they came from. You didn't grow up with what they've had to grow up with. And we're all from different places, and it produces different reactions in moments of testing like this. And so, obviously, we just have to be gracious with one another. So, really, all of us were unsure what to expect. I mean, this election for me has been marked by the three N's. The three ends of election are no hope, nervousness, and nausea, or being nauseated. It's been, you know, it's like, where in the world is our country going? But, you know, tonight, the fact of the matter is there may be a lot of passion for Donald Trump. There might be a lot of passion for Hillary Clinton. There is a lot of passion for Jesus coming back. You're usually in one of those three camps. Okay, am I going, as I've said before, elephant, or am I going donkey, or I'm just going to go lamb, Jesus come back. But the fact of the matter is, no matter who holds the office, our God still holds the world. And so we just put our trust, our confidence in Him. And I was thinking, you know, about the pledge. Recently I was part of something where we had to say the pledge, and I was meditating on those words and just, you know, a pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. And just that word under God, I really think, is the prophetic word for all of us tonight. It's not that we just need a nation under God. We need to stay under God. And when you're under God, as I remember one of the words that from Pastor James' sermon a few weeks ago when he was talking about, he said, whatever's in Jesus' hands is blessed. So I just made a vow that day, just keep my life in Jesus' hands, to put my kids in Jesus' hands, to put my marriage every day in Jesus' hands. And it kind of goes along with this whole idea of being under God. And so when I thought about that, God gave me this word in 1 Peter 5, if you can turn there, I think the scripture will be in the NIV. We need to stay under God. That's where we need to stay. There's safety under God. There's security under God. And let's just read this. 1 Peter 5:5-9. Again, just a little brief exhortation tonight. It says, in the same way, you who are younger, submit yourselves to your elders, all of you, clothe yourselves with humility toward one another. Now, we could stop there and preach for a while. Because God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. I'll never forget being a football coach. I came to faith as a football coach. And in the locker room and in pregame, and pregame, you know, talks and chapels and things, guys would come in and quote this, and they would usually say something like this, that God gives grace to the humble, but he stiff arms the proud. And anybody ever been stiff armed before? It doesn't feel great. And my wife was around so long. I know it's a little warm in here. We're trying to cool it off, but I was going to preach on hell and just scare y'all, so I turned the heat up. It's working on me too, though. It is warm in here. But my wife was around, and she grew up Catholic, but really didn't know much about her faith or anything like that. And so even if she quotes the scripture today, she swears it's in the Bible that God stiff arms the proud, because that's the way she first learned it. But it is a good picture of remembering that when we are prideful, God promises to stiff arm us, but he gives grace to the humble. And it goes on here, and I'm going to focus in on these next couple of scriptures. So it says, humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Remember how I talked about under God? Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up. So if you need a lift, the way to lift is to go low under God's hand. If I need to be lifted, I don't need to exalt myself. I need to humble myself under God. And he promises to lift us up in due time. Now, we don't like that in due time stuff. We want it microwaved, like right now. Then it goes on to say, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And I love how personal that is. We could probably all quote John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. But I love how personal Peter is making it here. Cast your care on God because he cares for you. Do you believe that tonight? Verse 8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion for someone to devour. Resist him. Stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. So just three little points in this exhortation tonight. You might want to jot these down. One is, we need to, even as we're thinking about how do we go forward, what do I do next, where am I at, not that this is only relevant for where we are, this is relevant for your Christian walk every day of your life. Humble yourself under God's mighty hand. That's number one. Now, when we talk about humility, humility sometimes can become a confusing word, like somehow I have to be less than or beat myself up or self-deprecate. That's really not what it is. It's not low self-esteem or not. It's not self-deprecating. It's not thinking less of yourself, but it is thinking of yourself less. We talk about humility, but man, it is difficult. We all fight the devil of selfishness. It's all about me. In fact, I said, you know, I didn't come to Christ until I was 25, as I said earlier, as a football coach at Oakland High School. You know, I served the unholy trinity, me, myself, and I. And it's very difficult to come to Christ and just put all that to death. But the Bible says to humble yourself under God's mighty hand. So when we humble ourselves, it's really understanding God's grace. It's understanding that everything we have and everything we are is a result of God's grace. And when you understand and you're in awe, as we were singing a minute ago, of God's grace, it's not hard to position yourself properly under his mighty hand. But it's the opposite of grace, or the opposite of understanding the gospel, and that there's nothing we can do to earn it, that it's God's unmerited favor, then we begin to try to get on this treadmill of good works and doing things, and we put all the strength on us. And fact of the matter is, whether it's grades or academics or athletics or success on the job, it's kind of ingrained that it's the more we do, the more we'll get. But the gospel, the good news, the grace of God works against that. And it's when we understand that all we are and everything we have are under God's grace, then it's when we're humbled. We can say, God, you're the reason that I'm anything anyway. So I will not exalt myself, right? And I will put my trust and my confidence in you. And some ways to do that is, and this is a word for somebody tonight, because I wouldn't normally say it this way, but when God gave it to me this way, I just said, hey, I'm going to go with it. Stop putting everything on your shoulders. You might not think of pride looking like that, but it's pride. When you say, just give it to me, I'll take it, I'll put it on my shoulders, and you begin to carry things that you were never meant to carry. And you actually like it. You like people to kind of feel sorry for you, that you have so much to do and so many things on you. And I know that's a tough word. It's real quiet in here now. But I heard the word of the Lord, and it's for somebody. Stop putting everything on your shoulders. The second thing along the lines of just humbling yourself under God's mighty hand is put your trust in God. I mean, one nation under God equals one nation trusting God. One nation under God equals one nation trusting God. One person under God equals one person trusting God. And when you keep it on your shoulders, you're essentially saying, I can't trust anyone else to do this. Now, how many of y'all have said that before? Well, if it's going to be done right, I got to do it myself. And that's sometimes right with people, but it's never right with God. But we'll talk to God that way. Well, if I want this life done right, then I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to do it. Get out of my way, God. It's called ego, edging God out. Most of the time, we don't humble ourselves. Most of the time, when we don't humble ourselves, we're really saying we don't trust God. And obviously, just underneath this, Jesus is our ultimate example. He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I could do nothing apart, right? There's all these things apart from. And then if you read over in Philippians 2, he humbled himself. He became obedient to the point of death. And even though coming to Christ is supposed to be about our death, we're still like flopping around in the bottom of the boat like a fish I catch. That I'm so excited to catch another one, I don't do anything with it. I just let it flop around in there. That might be cruelty. So then when it quits flopping, I put it back in the water. But but a lot of us are just flopping around in the bottom of the boat. Even if we're trying to die, we're still breathing, trying to breathe. We're not where we belong. That fish is breathing air. His lungs aren't made to breathe air. He's made to be in the water. We're made to be under God, but yet we exalt ourselves above God, and all of a sudden we're out of breath. We need to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Humble yourself under God, not culture. I've got some examples of that. Our culture says, promote yourself. Jesus said, deny yourself. You see that? Oh, that's awesome. Thank you, Lindsay. Our culture says, consume. Jesus says, give. These are the things. This is what we're talking about. Humbling ourselves under God means I want to be over here. But it takes humility. Culture tells you to be over here, where pride is your friend. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Culture says, hate those who hurt you. Jesus says, love others. Love your enemy. Culture says pursue things. The more things you have. Jesus said pursue God. Culture says live for right now. Jesus said it's about eternity. It's short-term sacrifice for long-time reward. The Bible tells us to count our days in this life, but that also there is eternity that we will spend, that it's much more than just what we encounter now. And the reason normal people are flopping like a fish in the bottom of the boat is because they do not have a view of eternity. We, as believers, ought to be swimming around in the ocean, doing what we're called to do. Because we can put our eyes on something that's bigger, that's eternal. We shouldn't be without hope. Yeah, in the temporary, things feel kind of crazy. We're unsure about tomorrow in some ways. But when we put our hope in Christ, we have an anchor that we're able to rest in Him because of eternity. Culture says pursue happiness. Jesus said pursue righteousness. Do you see how opposite these lists are? I don't know about you. I want to do this. But I find myself drifting over here. My heart just, it's like when you get in the ocean. You want to get out in the same place, but somehow, if you stay in there long enough, you end up down shore. And we have to continually come back to a word like tonight to get us back over where God is saying, put your life under me. Be one nation under God. Be one person, one family under God. Don't give in to cultural drift. But align yourself under my mighty hand. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Can we do that tonight? Number two, if you continue to read in this passage, it says, humble yourself under God's mighty hand. Number two, it says, cast your anxieties on God. Now, what I've found is Facebook is like therapy. People cast their anxieties on Facebook and never talk to God. That's why there's so much foolishness out there. Cast your anxieties on God. Where do you put your anxiety? Do you put it on people around you? Do you carry it on your own shoulder? Do you take care of, is it innocent bystanders on the workplace or at school? Is it your family? What do you do with your anxiety? The fact of the matter is we're all going to deal with feelings of worry. We're not immune to it. We're going to worry. We're going to be concerned. There's going to be nervousness. There's going to be an unease. We're all unsure about how the future is going to work. But what do you do with it? Tonight, if, you know, even in the election, if things didn't go the way you wanted, what are you going to do with it? Well, he gave, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and cast your anxiety on me, says God. Tonight, we can just take this up in whatever it is that we might be anxious about, our future, a relationship, a budding relationship with someone, or an existing relationship with a parent, or all of it's messy. Or is that just my life? Y'all acting like y'all got it all together out there. I don't need water, but that's all right. It's just I yelled too much at the championship on Saturday, and I just don't have much of a voice, but. Hey, I'll drink water. I'm going to humble myself. Because if you're giving it to me, it must be like a breath mint. I must need it. If anybody ever offers you a breath mint, you need it. Take it. Ask for two. Listen, anxieties are meant to be cast, not carried. Anxieties are meant to be cast, not carried. Casting your anxiety, the reason these two scriptures go together is because casting your anxiety on God is part of humbling yourself. Because pride wants to say, put it on my shoulders, I'll do it. Instead of, this I am not meant to carry, it is above my pay grade, and take it to God. Again, process, what it's saying is process your anxiety with God. The secret of humility is being able to cast your anxiety on God. One of the greatest things about God of the Bible, one of the things we're in awe of as we were singing tonight, is that he actually commands us to let him work for us before commanding us to work for him. I'm going to let that one soak in. Yeah, that one's too good. One of the greatest things about the God of the Bible, maybe not the God of you heard preach more, where it's about your works and all the stuff you do. The God of the Bible is that he commands us to let him work for us before commanding us to work for him. He's saying, cast your cares on me, for I care for you. And think about it. There's other places. Like, we have some scriptures up here. Do we have those? Like this one, Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Psalm 55, 22. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you. Even to your old age, Isaiah 46 says, I am he. And to gray hairs, praise God, I will carry you. I have made, and I will bear, and I will carry, and I will save. And then the last one. From Isaiah 64, from of old, no one has heard or perceived by the ear. No eye has seen a God besides thee who works for those who wait for him. Woo! How many of y'all need some God working for you right now? Well, then we need to rest and let God work. God will just let us wear ourselves out with our anxieties and our stress. Man, when you wait upon him, the Bible says your strength will be renewed. You'll mount up with wings like eagles. You will walk and not grow weary. You will run and you won't faint. My goodness, I've done preached myself happy. God cares for you. What a promise. What a promise. He cares for you. And that promise doesn't hang in the air. It's connected to a command. And the promise is meant to show you how to obey God. The command is, cast your anxiety on him. The promise is, God cares for you. That means he cares about the things that are worrying you. If there's any parents in here, if you have children and they're bothered by something, a test, a relationship, being bullied, making a team, a game, if they're concerned about it, does it bother you, parents? Absolutely. You don't, I generally love you, but I don't really care about that test or that relationship or that. I love you because I brought you into the planet, and I'm supposed to. But I don't really care about, the SAT that you're about to take. No, you care. You care because they care, and God is saying the same thing. I care about you. Cast your anxiety upon him. Do you get it? Are you tracking with me? The fact of the matter is things will not go away. And if you don't cast your your anxieties on him. And casting takes two hands. Take two hands right now. Can y'all do this with me? Like you're riding a roller coaster. And now cast it. It takes a hand of faith where you put your trust, and it takes a hand of prayer. And so the two hands that work together are faith and prayer. See, fear is the opposite of faith. It's faith in reverse. Fear is getting out ahead into the unknown and anticipating that God won't be there. Faith is getting out into the unknown and anticipating that God is going to be there. Do you see how faith works? Faith takes the same circumstance and subtracts God. Fear takes the same circumstance and subtracts God. And when you take God out of the equation, your natural thing is fear. But why could Peter get down out of the boat and walk on water? Because he could see Jesus. And when Jesus is in the end, then there's faith running your motor, not fear. And so it takes two hands. It takes a hand of faith and a hand of prayer. And you cast with two hands everything that's worrying you, every anxious thought, cast it on God. The one thing I would say, and I was getting into this, is be specific. Don't just say, Lord, I'm afraid. I mean, like, I'm worried. Well, your kid comes to be worried. Well, I'm worried too. Well, we're not worried, but I don't know really what to be worried about. I don't know how to help you. Well, I'm worried because of this specific thing, this relationship, or this job application, or this college application, or whatever your kid. Well, then guess what? You go to work, not just in general. Okay, thanks for that. I'm going to go to the grocery store. No, they weren't worried about food. You begin to unpack and work with them about whatever it is that they have fear, right? And so, or are afraid of, or worried about, or anxiety about. And so be specific when you come to God. So often we trust God in the abstract. Of course he's a trustworthy God. Of course he can save sinners in general. Of course he will work it all out, generally speaking, for my good. But this text means to lay a specific request or a specific anxiety on God. What is it that you're afraid about? What is it that's troubling you? Take that to God. He cares for you in a very specific way. The word says that he counts every hair or lack of them on our head. And in two hands, we take casting, and there's a connection to prayer. We cast it with faith and with prayer. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing. Do we have that? Do not be anxious about anything. Now, how in the world, like, who could ever do that? But in every situation, do you hear the specificity of that? In every situation, by prayer and petition, which is a particular request, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. It's faith and prayer. Cast, the two-handed cast of your anxiety on God. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God and cast your anxiety on him. Number three, and I'll just close with this. The Bible goes on to say in 1 Peter 5, be sober and vigilant. And I believe, again, in times of uncertainty, our posture ought to be one of humility under God, casting our care, our anxiety on him because he cares for us, yet being sober, sober-minded, and vigilant. Because there is an enemy. There is an enemy. Peter exhorts us to remain clear-headed or sober, to be watchful or vigilant. Why? Because we have an enemy. And the enemy's desire for you is to take you out. We don't have to be afraid of the enemy, but the Bible says The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus comes that he may give us life and life to the full. And so we have to understand that, man, I may have some self-destruct buttons. This pride, I mean, think about it. Be sober and vigilant is in the context of humbling ourselves and casting our cares. They're connected. And so I have to take watch over my soul, over what I'm feeding on, over what I'm listening to. Your heart is just, it's just a container. Do you understand that? Your soul is just a container, and whatever you put in it is what it will believe. So we have to guard our hearts with all diligence. The Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, because out of it flow the issues of life. We have to be sober. We have to be vigilant. We have to understand that there is an enemy who wants to take us out. We have to take truth serious. We have to take truth seriously, that this word of God is true. And we have to understand that it will guard our minds, that it will protect us, that the joy of the Lord will be our strength. We have to understand that this is not something to take lightly. We have to take our spiritual walk seriously. I mean, basically what he's saying, Peter is saying, be sensible. I mean, a lot of times we just lose our sense. And the reason why is because we're not being sober-minded. We're not being vigilant of what we put in our heart. And all of a sudden, we begin to act unreasonable, foolish, against what the Word of God says. What he's saying here is be sober and vigilant. Be self-controlled. Part of the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. I love what Pastor Rice says. You know what self-control is? It's control yourself. I mean, it's just that simple. But if we're not, if we allow ourselves to not be alert, to fall asleep, to grow weary, to be confused with any wind of doctrine or teaching or what some foolish thing is saying that's anti-word of God, then all of a sudden, we again are blown off course. So how do we act in this post-election? How do we act in this world in which we're living, like Donnie was talking about earlier? It's very simple. Watch what's coming out of your mouth. The Bible says, out of your mouth, right, flow the issues of your life. Whatever's in the heart, it will flow out of your mouth, right? And today's favorite mouth is what you text and what you type and what you tell. Take guard over that. In this hour, we need leadership. The body of Christ has got to lead. And how we need to lead is to obey exactly what 1 Peter said. Humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Cast our anxiety on him, because when you don't cast your anxiety, when you carry it, it begins to affect what leaks out of you, right? If you're carrying something, if you're carrying 50 pounds of rice, eventually that rice is going to wear a hole in the burlap and you're going to begin to make a trail. Well, that's what we do. We carry anxieties and we don't realize it, but there's a trail of foolishness that begins to mark our lives that's not Christ-like. So we humble ourselves under God. We cast our care on him because he cares for us. And we be sober and vigilant. And if we do that, we will lead through the craziest and most uncertain times. We will lead our families. We'll lead our children. We'll lead on the workplace. We'll lead this planet. Because all the planet's looking for is that stability that comes from that humility of being one nation under God, one person under God. Amen? Can I pray for you? Is that a good little exhortation? Did I offend anybody besides myself? All right, why don't you stand to your feet? If you need prayer for anything, we want to pray for you. Don't forget your children. They're waiting on you. They're casting their goldfish right now. We're here to pray for you. It's so good to see you. A couple things. Wednesday night. Next Wednesday night is going to be amazing. You're not going to want to miss it. Our equip department's taking over. They're graduating and talking about Pastor Bruce and Gothi. It's going to be amazing. Last year was incredible. Then the next week, I think, is Thanksgiving week, which we do not have Wednesday night service. Then we'll be into our Christmas series, which you're not going to want to miss. So don't tell everybody about the secret of wild, what'd you call it, Aaliyah? Wild Wednesdays. They are wild. They don't have much option with this group leading it. All right. Father, thank you so much that you love us. Thank you that you love us enough to tell us the truth. Thank you, Lord, for stepping on our toes. Thank you, God, for putting us back into alignment today. If we were subluxed a little by circumstance or situations, thank you that with one snap of your truth, you put us back into alignment. Help us, God, to humble ourselves consistently, daily. Help us to cast our care on you daily because you care for us. Help us, God, to be sober and vigilant because you've told us there's an enemy that wants to take us out. God, in this season, God, let us keep our eyes on you, Jesus. Let the church take its rightful place, leading the way, God. Help us, Lord. Give us wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. If you need prayer, come down front. Thank you.